Okay, our opening scripture this morning comes from Hebrews, the coffee chapter, 13:5. And this was especially noticeable this week to me, just observing around, but it says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." Let your conversation, this word is it's an old word, but it means a lifestyle, manner of living, way of life, if you will. Let it be without covetousness. Covetousness is always wanting something that everybody else has, and living in such a state that you have to outdo your neighbor. You get a snowblower, they get a bigger one. You get a car, you got to have a bigger one. Those kind of things. And I know that as believers, I don't really see that we do that all that much, but It's a mindset, but it's a lifestyle too, to be without covetousness. And I saw a large crowd gathered when Faith and I went over to the plaza in Springfield the other night, and they were gathered outside of Peebles, and it was just massed back away from the doors. And I was thinking about the first three or four that get into the store and how many feet trampled on them or knocked them down to buy something that was marked down on sale. They just had to have it. They just had to have it. And they were willing to stomp and knock each other down to get it. And you've probably all seen videos this year of other stores. That's already happened. People get beat up. They get pummeled. They get stomped and stampeded in a store to buy something. That's not good, because it happens every year. So it is a way of life for some people. They have to be the first ones in the store to get something. And I'd like to see people line up at the cross. The first one at the cross gets in. You know, why isn't there that kind of a hunger? But it's always for material things. And we all have them. There are many things that we have need of, and the Lord provides them for us. And that's what I like about this. It says, and be content with such things as you have. We all know in the Lord, it's a Christian cliche, if you will, that with God there's always more. No matter how much you have, there's always more. But I think there has to be a balance somewhere in our thinking about how much more. When do we get more? And is it the Lord, the one that we're looking to provide as we have need? I hardly ever go to the store just to look around. I don't know, maybe it's a guy thing or a Rick thing, but I'm not interested in going to a store and wandering around for 3 or 4 hours and looking at everything. And I know when there's a need, I'll go get something, you know? But to just to go because I like something and just want it. And it was even like that before I got saved too, but I just don't have that desire to want everything there is to want. Now, as the Lord provides, and I seek Him, He says He meets all of our needs. So I'm content in that until He chooses to do otherwise. And I think there's a lot of peace in that. There's a contentment, and I understand what content is. It's like a resting place, and it's very peaceful. There's a settling in your spirit. But people who are in a frenzy over all of the shopping binges to get that first sale, I don't know. I kind of want to stay away from that. It's not wrong for them if that's what they want to do, but this tells us, let your conversation or let your lifestyle be without that that desire to always want to have the best of everything and be the first in line to get it. So it's kind of like something that we grow into as believers. The Lord brings us to that place where there is a settling and a contentment. And that's a nice place to be, because then our hearts are always open to any blessing or promise that He has yet to unfold in our lives. But I keep going back to Peter. He has, past tense, given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Already we have it. But the other thing that He promises was His presence. And as we've been studying a little bit about miracles, time permitting later, we're going to pick up where we left off last week about the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were, King Nebuchadnezzar was about ready to throw them in the burning fiery furnace because they wouldn't bow down to the golden image of himself. And they came to that point whether it didn't matter if the Lord delivered them out of the king's hands or not, they were not going to bow down and worship that statue. And so today we're going to find out how important the presence of God was, because the king actually looked in the furnace and he saw a fourth person, knowing that he only had three thrown in there, but there was another one in the furnace. And I don't want to take a lot away from what we'll talk about later, but his presence is always with us, because even Jesus, when he talked to his disciples about the comforter, the Holy Spirit, he said, he will be with you and in you forever. So we are never without his presence. We are never without the Holy Spirit. No matter what, no matter how many furnaces we go through, or no matter how many ice boxes, or how many deserts, or how many floods, how many famines and storms of life we go through, he's promised his presence. And I'll tell you, one with God is a majority. You're never alone. We are never alone. And if you're feeling alone, it's because you're not really sure he's with you. Uh-oh, I did it now, didn't I? We know. You have to know that we know that we know. I thought long and hard about another trip to India, hearing all this bad news and things that are going on there, and then I'll admit there are places I will not be able to go again under the conditions that are there right now. But I don't have any fear about going. I have that. I'm like Bubble Boy. That's how I feel. He's opened up the doors and made it possible to go and provided, then surely I'll be coming home. Go and come back. So you can keep that in your prayers too. That's not going to be until nearly the end of April. So lots of time, lots of preparation time. But I know that he's with me. And he's just as much with me there as he is here. And he's just as much with you wherever you are too. That he promised us. I will never leave you nor forsake you. A lot of times a person leaves and they just forget about you and let you flounder on your own. That's forsaking somebody, even though you may have left them. There's a difference between leaving and still caring for the ones you left behind than just leaving and forgetting about everything and everyone. The Lord doesn't leave us behind, and he doesn't forget. And we're the head and not the tail. We're above only and not beneath. We're overcomers and we're more than conquerors in all things. Even when the enemy tries to rough us up, he'll never win. He's already lost. We already belong to Jesus. And that's good news. Sang about some good news earlier. Well, I just added to the mixture. I want to go back to Daniel chapter 3 from last week. Carry on a little bit further. We're still talking about miracles, and there are so many miracles in the Word, Old Testament and New Testament as well. We got as far as last week how Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had purposed in their hearts that no matter what kind of a decree the king made, they were not going to bow down and worship his golden image. And for that, they were threatened with being thrown into, the word calls it, a burning fiery furnace. But they came to the conclusion that whether God delivers them or whether he doesn't, they're still not going to bow down and worship the king's image. And so the king, because he's the king, could do anything that he wanted to do because he was the king. He got very angry. And starting in verse 19, that's where we're going to continue on from today. Daniel chapter 3, verse 19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. Have you ever seen anybody furious? How it's almost powerless to stop a person in absolute fury because the rage is so intense that nothing will stop them from getting not only violent but absolutely menacingly dangerous to the point of scheming up something very destructive and carrying through on it. And the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spoke and commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually to be heated. Now I don't know what they used that furnace for before, but I know the other day when we put things in the oven, there's a preheat. And the oven comes up to that temperature, and then you put whatever you're baking in the oven after it's been preheated. And I couldn't even imagine how hot that oven would be in the natural to have heated it 7 times more than the normal baking temperature. It probably would have set the wall on fire behind the stove, and probably everything around the stove would have been consumed because we have propane for our stove, so it would have been a pretty toasty fire going in there. 7 times the normal heat. But that's what he did. He was so angry that he literally was warring against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He wanted to show them that he had the last say because he was king. And out of his fury and his anger, he said, "You want to play hardball? I'll show you what hardball is. Watch this." Yeah, Priscilla, right. Crank it up, man. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Isn't that amazing? He was so terrified of these three men that he had to go get the strongest men in his army to tie him up. They're just three little Jewish kids that had been fasting, and they weren't going to eat the king's food either. They weren't going to bow down to him, but he posed such a threat, or they did, to this king, that he was absolutely certain that he was going to obliterate them and wipe them off the face of the earth, never to be seen again. Angel dust. Then those men who were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. All the clothes, everything they were wearing, bound and tied and thrown into this furnace. And therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, The flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I mean, that is hot. That is indescribable how the men that bound them and threw them in the furnace were consumed immediately. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in the furnace now, but the men that threw them in there got burned up first. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. I saw an ISIS video of a Christian who refused to acknowledge Jesus Christ, and his crime was they were going to burn him alive in a cage. And they soaked him in gasoline and set him on fire. And I watched that video to show the horror of what's happening to some of our brothers and sisters. I read those Voice of the Martyr magazines, and I pay very close attention. And I'm on top of this stuff. I don't know. I will never stop being a mouthpiece. For don't ever forget, if you don't know anything else to pray, pray for the church. Pray for the persecuted church. Because they're on the front lines. And that guy was thrown in that cage and set on fire, and I watched him burn to death. I want to know my enemy and what we're warring against. And I know that is no match for God, but there are a lot of people that are paying the price for their faith. Don't stop praying. It could get worse. So we need to be praying and standing for the people even now today who won't live the rest of this day. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and he rose up in haste, and he spoke and said unto his counselors, he even had advisors. Yeah, his inner circle. He watched his strongest, mightiest men get burned up outside the furnace. And now he needed to get some counsel. Did not we cast three men in the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came over near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and he spoke and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God. Boys, he's singing a different tune now, huh? He had an awakening. The Most High God, come forth and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth from the midst of the fire. And the princes, the governors, the captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power. Nor was a hair of their head singed, and neither were their coats charred, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Not even the scent of fire. Do you know the only thing that burned was the ropes that had them bound? And there wasn't even any smell on their clothing. If you've been around a person that smokes, as an example, that smoke and that smell carries on their clothes all the day long until they throw the clothes in the laundry. Or if you've been barbecuing, the smell from the barbecue is on you. You can't escape it. The smoke just goes everywhere you go. But this miracle was such that only thing burned was the ropes. And I don't know if you've ever, I've been had hair singed on my hands and fingers before. The pilot on the stove all of a sudden lights and the burner lights, and if you don't pull your hand back, voom, it's just a quick little reminder that not to do that. And you could smell the hair on your fingers and your hand. So a lot of miracles happened in this, and it's hard to just focus on the one. But out of all of it, the greatest miracle was what happened to the king. Then Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." He suddenly realized how small he was as the king compared to the God who delivered those three Hebrew children out of that furnace. The king had a heart change, and that is one of the most important miracles that came out of this. Whenever the Lord does a miracle or works a miracle, or he works a miracle through you, one of the things that happens is the onlookers, the avid spectators, the mockers, the scoffers, the doubters, they cannot deny what our God has done, because it goes so far beyond logic, it goes so far beyond any human intelligence, that they can't even come close to seeing that this was truly a miracle that the Lord has done. There's no other explanation for it. A few people may snicker and scoff and try to conjure up something that happened in a natural understanding, but a true biblical miracle, the best way to understand it is say what Nebuchadnezzar did. Surely the king who delivered them performed this miracle, and he had a heart change. And you'll see it through the rest of the chapter. Back to verse 28. Who had sent his angel, and he sent his angel. See, he saw Jesus in the furnace, or an angel. I don't know. People have speculated it was Jesus. The word says an angel. But an angel isn't going to burn up either, because it's a spiritual being, and earthly fire isn't going to have any effect on it. They trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree. Oh, the kings always like to make decrees. Executive order. You watch these three. They're dangerous. Wow. That's what I would have written. But the God they served. The king therefore made a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. In less than half a chapter, everything changed. And it was probably happened quicker than the time it took to read this, just in this few minutes. The sudden heart change to the mockers, the scoffers, because everybody knew that they must have put people in that furnace before, because what other purpose did it serve? And how could they make it seven times hotter without a thermostat? I don't know. There's just a lot of things that happened in that portion of Scripture. But when we're talking about miracles, they didn't get burned. There was no smell of smoke. They came out with their clothes on. Everything was the same as when they got put in, except they didn't have any ropes holding them bound. So that account, each time I read things like that, it so inspires me, because you think you had a bad day yesterday? You know, that's what I think. So you think you had it rough yesterday or the day before? Look at these guys. And it makes me come back to my senses and say, if it weren't for the grace of God, we'd all be fried. And how thankful it makes me. Because this is who we serve, and this is what he's capable and able of doing. And when we started out today with the opening scripture from Hebrews, he promised us his presence, even in the midst of what Peter calls our fiery trials, or James, the things that the enemy throws at us. Every day we are a people under assault, but you know the Lord blinds us to most of it. because of His grace, because of His covering, because of His care, because of His protection, because of His mercy, because of His compassion. In fact, I believe somewhere in the Word it said something about, except for the Lord's mercies, we would all be consumed. So we don't really see in the spiritual realm all the things that an angel of the Lord or the Holy Spirit has protected us from. We can get complacent and just almost take it for granted, but we shouldn't. Every day that He gives us is a miracle. He's keeping us today. And we have no idea how hard the enemy tried to get to any of us this morning. All I know is when you come in through those front doors and you walk under that oil and that blood, there ain't nothing going to come on you in here except Him. And when you walk out, you've been covered. The Spirit has spoken. The Spirit has encompassed us, and we're caught up in the Spirit with Him, and He will never leave us. Just because we leave the building doesn't mean that He leaves us, because we are the church. We are His people. And wherever we go, oh, it bothers some people that maybe don't like that Holy Spirit character being talked about as a person. I don't know how we couldn't live our faith without the Holy Spirit. He dwells in us and He leads us and guides us every day. He's the one who reveals things. And that's why when we're studying all of these manifestations, they're manifestations of the Holy Spirit. How can we not talk about it? How can we not? He's not a thing on the wall like an it. He's the third person of the Trinity. He's the power factor on this earth. And when things get tough, He gets tougher. And He'll keep us no matter what. And I don't think we ever have ever come here and heard bad news. And I don't purpose in my heart to ever bring any. It may get a little rough at times and it make us uncomfortable, things that we talk about, because it's needful. But I'll tell you, God is good, and He's good all the time. No matter what things look like, they're always, that may be the way it is now, but it's subject to change. So when you start sharing something with someone that you're telling the truth of a situation that may be going on, that's the way it is now. But it's subject to change, and change for the better. We got to think for the better, not the worst. Before we're saved, we thought the worst, but now that we're saved, we need to think and believe the best, because God is the best. Amen? Amen. Anyone need prayer in the house this morning?